Thankful. Thankful for this day. Thankful for the opportunity to be together and to study the Word of God and let the Holy Ghost talk to us this morning and our lives be changed. And, you know, I believe He knows what we have need of, and He's going to speak to us this morning about that. So let's just open in prayer. Father God, we're just so grateful for this opportunity that our pastor has set aside and allowed us to come together and just to be taught. And we just commit this time into your hands. And Father, it's my heart's desire that you would speak to us this morning by the Holy Ghost. And I just thank you, Holy Spirit, sir, you live within each one of us. And you're our teacher. You are the teacher of the church. And we yield ourselves to you, and we just ask that you would speak to us. You know, you're a genius, and you live on the inside of us. And when we listen to you, it causes things to change in our lives. And so I just thank you that you give us ears to hear what you would say to us this morning. And I believe it's a time of preparation, Father. And it's not going to be a wasted time by any means as we avail ourselves to the anointing of your word. And I just thank you that from the anointing of your word, that yokes will be removed off of us, burdens will be removed off of us, that there will be a spirit of wisdom and revelation that will flow, hallelujah, because that will change our heart and it will change our voice. And I just thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all come on in. I've written a few things up on the board. This is kind of the foundation of the class, I believe. And for me, it's really become a foundation part of my life. Information affects your mind. Revelation affects your heart and your voice. And that's what we want this morning, is revelation from the Father God. You know, when God reveals something, it's like, ah, there it is. It's like an answer. It's like, that's what I've been looking for. That's what I've been expecting. So that's what that's my heart's desire. It's my desire for this class. It's my desire when pastor ministers to us on Sunday morning. Because revelation, it'll change your heart. And man, will it change your voice. Instead of speaking defeat, you're going to start speaking victory. Because man, when it's revealed, it's like, okay. You know, Mark Hankins, we've all heard this. He says the greatest need we have is a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And so that's what I'm expecting this morning, and I believe y'all will agree with me. The verse that we're doing today is chapter 3, and it's Psalms 91:3. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. I did a few little definitions. Of course, he expounds on it, but this is some thoughts I wanted to share. Surely means without fail. You have to have an expectation in your heart that God will not fail you in any arena of life, but, you know, we're talking about Psalms 91. So we've got to have that expectation that he'll not fail you when it comes to protection, provision, deliverance, whatever. Surely. That's a word to meditate on. Surely, he will not fail me. He'll not fail to do what? Deliver you from the snare of the fowler. And a snare, I thought this was an interesting definition. It's to catch or involve by trickery or wile. That's how our enemy works. He likes to make things look like what they are not. That's trickery. You ever watched a magic show? I don't know much about magic. It's pretty astounding what people do. And I know I was with Tricia one time and somebody was talking about magic, and they like magic shows and this and that, and they did it by the sleight of the hand and whatever. Tricia leaned over to me and she says, "It's the devil." these people were really engrossed in it and just thought, you know, whatever. But she said, "It's the devil." And it, you know, there's the trickery that's involved. The enemy likes to deceive. He likes to wile us, to draw us into places that, you know, and it's very subtle. It's a little bit more, a little bit more. But surely, without fail, God will deliver us from that snare. He'll deliver us from the trickery or the wile of the enemy. And it says of the fowler. And, you know, a fowler, I use this from the book, is a professional bird catcher. And there are people that are professional bird catchers. But as I was writing that up on the board, it was like professional stood out to me. You know, somebody that's professional has put a lot of time in to what they do. And they've been trained and whatever and whatever. They're professional. Now, this is not to give the enemy any glory or whatever, but we need to understand our enemy. I've heard Terry Savelle Foy say that. She said, you have to learn how to fight because you're in a war. And you know what? We're learning how to fight in this class. Yes. You realize that? Yes. We're learning how to fight. We're learning how to take the Word of God in the place of prayer and fight. And to cover ourselves, cover our family, cover whoever God puts on your heart. And surely he will deliver us not only from the snare of the fowler, but from the perilous pestilence. And that's dangerous diseases and viruses. And man, as we're doing this and we're putting Psalms 91 into our heart and it becomes a part of us, when we hear word of that there is this virus, whatever, 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 and there's no known cure for it, hopefully this will be so much in our heart and such a revelation to us that it affects our heart and affects our voice. And one of the first things that will come out of our mouth, well, not in my house, not in my family, not in my town, right? Because there will be words. There will be dangerous diseases and viruses in the end times, I believe. We've heard of it a little bit. But anyway, surely, without fail, God will deliver us. And you know, it's interesting. He said, God will deliver you. Well, if you're delivered from something, that means it has opportunity to come to you, right? So we shouldn't be caught off guard. It's not like we're looking for, hunting for it, expecting it. But when the news comes, or if we're caught right in the middle of something, and there's some calamity and whatever, you know, I know years and years and years ago, Dusty was working at Volvo when TNT blew, and gosh, you were working, I'm sorry, working at Volvo. Thank you, honey. He was working at TNT when TNT blew, and we were new Christians. And, you know, he was delivered from that. I mean, he had just barely gotten out on the road, and it blew, and it just took the car over to the side of the road. But, you know, there was people that was caught right in the midst of that, and it was pretty miraculous that nobody was killed. But those are the kind of things we're talking about. We're not looking for them. And I'm telling you what, I'm not expecting them, but if I get caught in the middle of one of them, this is what. Surely, without fail, God will deliver us from those places. And I wanted to address this for just a minute. And this is what happened in New Zealand. I tell you, terrorism went up a whole notch, or two or three, this past week. I didn't watch a whole lot of it. Teresa, come on in. Oh, you need somebody. You need Kelvin? Okay. I didn't watch a whole lot about it, but I did a little bit, and I was thinking and pondering on it. The Lord really brought that to my thoughts this morning, and what I remember seeing, and I guess probably all of you in the room know what happened in New Zealand with the, they called him a white supremacist, went in and killed 50-some people. But the thing that happened was he taped it, live stream. Thank you. But he live streamed every bit of it. And I really believe the Lord spoke to my heart this morning that the purpose of that was, when it's live streamed, it went out to millions of people before they could take it off. I understand people did get to see it before it was taken off, and that Facebook was really slow. Should have done, happened a lot quicker, and whatever other media forms that he used. But the purpose of that, the Lord spoke, he said that was to create fear. That's all that was to create fear in people's lives. And we know, and what we've learned over the years, that what we fear, we draw that to us. If it becomes a stronghold in your thinking or whatever. I know by the time I got to see it just on Channel 7 News, you know, they said that they were not showing all the graphics and all that or whatever. But that just took it up to a different level. You know, before then, we would hear about it, but this was seeing it. So does that help us to understand what times we're in? And the importance of, you know, things such as this and whatever else you do in your own personal life to prepare your heart for when calamity comes and different things like that. But thank God. Thank God for Psalms 90. Thank God for the Word of God. Whether it be Psalms 91, whether it be any verse that God gives you, let Him give you verses to pray over your family, to pray over your situations. Like I prayed earlier, the Holy Spirit is a genius, and we just listen to Him. Now, in this scripture, in this chapter, we're going to learn about being at the right place at the right time, doing the right things with the right people. And it's going to take us a little while to get through this chapter, but thank God we're going to have a greater understanding when we get to the end of it, of the supernatural power of God that can put us in the right place at the right time. Only the Holy Ghost can do that for you. Dusty and I, we've been talking about that. We get out in the car and, you know, things that used to irritate us so much when you're out in the car and there's a delay here and there's a delay there, or you make a wrong turn or this or whatever, we just kind of look at each other and we kind of laugh. We say, okay, we're going to be at the right place at the right time, doing the right things with the right people. I mean, we're trusting God to do that. And, you know, I've been praying that over, you know, our family for quite some time, because George Pearson's, some time back, he was teaching on this too. So let's look at how God can do that. Chapter 3, the first page. And I'm just going to read down through here, and you can follow with me if you've got your book. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Not maybe or sometimes, but an unqualified surely. Not a conditional he might, but a definitive he shall. What blessed assurance we have that our God will deliver us from the snare of the fowler. The Bible depicts the devil as a fowler. A fowler is a professional bird catcher. He lays traps and carefully conceals them so that he can ambush unsuspecting birds. The Bible also depicts the devil as a thief and a murderer who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You know what? It would behoove us in our prayer time that God would bring a revelation to the body of Christ concerning our enemy, because we've been deceived about him. I mean, a revelation from the Word of who our enemy is. Because you know what he's got us caught up in so much? Fighting against flesh and blood. We need a revelation. And we get caught up in, well, this was white supremacist, or we get caught up in this was some other terrorist and whatever. We get caught up in that. We got to see the devil behind all of this. And we'll read on here what, you know, he says about this. What we need to understand is that the world we live in is a fallen world. Adam committed high treason and gave the keys of this world to the devil. Because of what Adam did, the devil is the ruler of this world. The Apostle Paul calls him the prince of the power of the air. I hope you took time as you read this chapter to read these scriptures. That is why, as long as the devil is still the ruler of this world, the world will continue to get darker and darker, and there will continue to be accidents, sickness, calamities, tragedies, and death. You know, I want to stop here and tell you that as I was reading this, because of what Adam did, the devil is the ruler of this world. And you know, a deception that is in the world and the body of Christ now is that God's in charge.
Right.
Yeah. As I was reading that, I saw that. I said, no wonder. It's such a deception. that it's all God's fault. There's probably somewhere, someplace, somebody is saying that God is behind what happened in New Zealand. Well, you know, the people in New Zealand are blah, 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 blah. You know, it's such a deception. And so here again, this is where we as prayers, we get to pray that that revelation will come forth. That the devil is the devil. And he's the one that steals, kills, and destroys. And it's not our God. He's a loving God. And really, do you know the revelation of God's love to come to people and to the body of Christ? You know what? This would just throw religious people right out of the water. But you know what? That man that did all of that a few days ago, God loves him.
Yes, he does.
Religious people would just, I mean, they would, I don't even know what. But God loves him. And you want to say, how? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that we could all be saved. Let's go on. But we can rejoice in the knowledge that the devil's lease on this world is quickly running out. That's why the increase of the attacks and the increase of deaths, the increase of, you know, because the enemy wants as many people. He doesn't want anybody to get saved. But that is quickly running out. Apostle Paul also tells us that our Lord Jesus is coming back and all his enemies will be humbled or put under his feet with death as the last enemy to be destroyed. Let's go on. We are in this world, but not of this world. In the meantime, we will see the world getting darker and darker. But as believers, we do not need to live in fear. Our trust is in our Lord Jesus. We are in this world, but we're not of this world. Man, if we could get a revelation of that. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. You know, that's one you can take and meditate on and let God just make it real to you. You know, we're in this world, but what happens in this world does not have to affect us. One thing that comes to my thinking is we're in this world, and, you know, the sickness and disease does not have to affect us. We're in this world, you know, divorce does not have to affect us. We're in this world, you know, kids running away and whatever, whatever does not have to affect us. You know, it's just saying, I'm in this world, but it doesn't have to affect me. But that takes a revelation. Even as I, okay, there is a very real and active fellow that is setting up snares. Even as I write this book, I'm reading and hearing reports of bombs going off, shootings, a commercial airline crashing upon landing, viral outbreaks in different parts of the world. Oh, and what about the planes that are crashing? Dear Jesus. I mean, thank God for the word. Thank God for the covering of the blood of Jesus. In the natural, this can be extremely disheartening, but don't forget that we have a Savior who is even more real, and he's promised to deliver us from the snare of the fowler, from perilous pestilence, dangerous diseases, and viruses. The bottom line is we need to realize how much we need our Savior and his protection daily. Wow. I mean, that in itself right there. How much we need our Savior and his protection daily. You know what? We get so busy with life. And I think sometimes we forget how much we need Jesus. You know, by nature, we're independent. It's like, I'll take care of it till I can't take care of it no more. Then I'll ask Jesus to help me.
Yeah. I'd like to share something. My son Benjamin has been sent to Mexico
mm-hmm.
and for his job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to just outline this. He was going to be sent to Mexico. A member of my family said he was going to be shot, and it was just in jest.
What now? Somebody in your family said he was going to get shot?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, so I said, it just rose up in me. I said, don't you ever confess that over my son.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus, he's
right.
Not going to be shot.
Yeah.
My son went to California, drove down to Mexico, crossed the border, or he went to ask for immigration. They sent him to ask. He had two officers told him to go to the next one to ask the question.
Mm-hmm.
When he got to that officer, he started to ask the question, and the officer felt insulted because he was wearing an American uniform and yet was Hispanic. And so he flew into a rage and made him go and be inspected. And he spent a long time there. Then he was finally released to go back, and he went to another gate. When he got to the other gate, there was two men with machine guns who met him.
Mm-hmm.
And so all in all, he was sent to three different places, and what could have been in all three of those killed.
Yeah, but God.
And finally he gets to the gate that happened. But I would like to say this. Immediately it rose up in me to say that he was not going to be killed. Steve and I prayed the Psalms 91 prayer over him. And it rose up in me to each place in there that said that, you know, that he was going to be put in the snare. A thousand would fall in his right hand.
Right.
It wasn't just, you know, reading it. It was like God was saying one thing after another after another.
Yes.
And I believe the Psalm 91 prayer at that time is what actually saved his life, because he said, you know, it was something where he really felt that he was going to be, could have been killed.
Right.
So I just want
to... Thankful for that, aren't we? That Psalms 91. Well, what rose up in my heart when you was talking about that relative that said that, she said that, he said that out of fear for your son.
No, he said that because that is his, he's steeped in politics, and he's steeped in constantly looking at it and being negative towards all the stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
So the first thing that rises up in his mouth is, you know, how bad it is, and how, maybe it is fear, but I mean just...
Sure.
The first thing that comes out of his mouth is that negative.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you feed that, see, that's what... But, you know, your son, as we read, he's in this world, but he's not of this world.
Absolutely.
And so whatever, when we hold on to that, we're in this world, but we don't have to let what's happening in the world, you know, affect us or take us out.
And see, his confession, and when he came back and told me, his take on it was also a glory to God for saving him and keeping him safe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he knows where.
Praise God.
Part of it too is he was in the military, and when he went into the military also, I prayed the Psalm 91 prayer for him. And I said, you know, Father God, I said, he went into the military, and I said, I prayed that prayer over him, and no less is that prayer than now again.
Right.
So, but anyway.
And that's good, and that makes me think, you know, you prayed that for him when he went into the military, and I think any parent would take Psalms 91 and do that. But the thing of it is, where we're at in the world now, is we all need it. You know what I'm saying? It was before, if you're going in the military, if you're going to go on a long trip, if you're going to, you know, do whatever. But this is something we need before we even go out the door. Or while we're even in our house. I mean, this is a covering that God put in his word 2,000 years ago. These, knowing that, you know, 9/11 was going to happen, knowing that the terrorist attacks were going to happen, knowing that the enemy was going to, because of the last times. And it tells us in the Word in Matthew, there will be earthquakes and rumors of war and perilous times and so on and so forth. So, you know, we just need it across the board.
Right. But that was when it was most introduced to.
Sure it was.
It was when he went into the military.
Sure, absolutely.
Hadn't stayed with me all that time, but I mean, it's just...
Any parent, I think, that's a Christian would have done that. That would bring you to that place in your life. And so, thank you for sharing that. Where am I at?
You're at where he says we need to involve the Lord.
Yes, thank you. We need to involve the Lord Jesus in our lives every day. Only He can deliver us and keep us safe. It goes on and he says, I want to share with you another passage from Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11 through 12, which also talks about the fowler's snare. Sometimes the best way to interpret Scripture is to ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom and revelation, looking for reoccurring themes in the Bible and allow Scripture to interpret Scripture. And that is so true. What I'm saying is that there is a powerful truth here waiting to be unlocked. Let's dive in right in, shall we? Ecclesiastes chapter 9 was written by King Solomon, the richest man who lived and who would ever live. 2 Chronicles 1:12. I hadn't read that for a long time, and I went back and read that. And you know what? Well, let me go on and read the next. His wealth, estimated by some to be in the trillions in today's term, surpasses that of Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, and Mark Zuckerberg combined. Well, you look at that, and when you read that scripture verse, it says that he is the richest man who lived and would ever live. Solomon. X a number of years ago. And I mean, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, I don't know their hearts, or and Mark, whatever. But I mean, they think, probably the richest person in the world thinks, I'm the richest person in the world. Nobody will ever supersede me but Solomon. I just love that. I wanted to bring that out. I returned, this is a scripture, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill. But time and chance happen to them all. For man also does not know his time, like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare. So the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. Now, I tell you, I've read this over and over. I was not familiar with these scripture verses. And there's a lot in here. And I appreciate Joseph Prince's revelation that God has given him as we get over in the chapter further. Because I think, dear Lord, I mean, I do, I'll be honest with you. I'm so glad we have this to share. Because, you know, I'm not doubting myself, but I don't have the revelation, but I sure am glad that we get to share the revelation together. You understand what I'm saying? I know one time somebody listened to some CDs by, I think I've shared this before, by Joseph Prince, and their comment was, he sure didn't learn that by sitting on the riverbank fishing. You know, this is, I'm going to go on and read to the top of the next page, and then we're going to stop because we're going to do something else. We've been reading Psalms 91:1 and Ecclesiastes 9:11. Did you notice that the number 9:1 or 9:11 occurs in both passages? The number 9:11 is very significant for our times. It is a number that marks the largest scale terrorist attack on American soil to date. Our hearts were broken that day. The world changed, and we'll never forget what happened. While I know that chapter and verse markers in our Bible aren't inspired, it is my personal opinion that prayer of protection in Psalms 91 marks the times we're living in and gives us a crystal clear reason why we don't have to live in fear. I thought that was interesting. You know, 9/11. You know, I don't think that's a mistake. But anyway, we do not have to live in fear. We'll talk about fear. We'll talk about things that cause fear in this class. But we do not have to live in fear. That's what we have to take from this class, okay? So next Sunday, we'll pick up and go on further in the chapter. But I ask you, when you have time this week, reread what is in Ecclesiastes 9, 11, and 12. And reread what he shares, things in the Hebrew, and so on and so forth. And we'll continue on. Next Sunday in that.